This portion of Grassroots Marketing on Location on Cannabis Radio is presented by Norick Risk. Creating unique insurance solutions for the hemp and cannabis industry is a passion of Norick Risk. Rooted in over 100 years' experience, placing custom, extra-large insurance programs worldwide. Learn more at norickrisk.com. CannabisRadio.com presents Grassroots Marketing on Location, featuring exclusive one-on-one interviews with those impacting and evolving the cannabis industry. Now, let's go on location to the 2016 NCIA Cannabis Business Summit in Oakland, California.
Hello, everybody. We are live from the National Cannabis Industry Association in Oakland, California, and I am here with Aaron Smith, the National Director of the NCIA, and I'm glad we finally got to sit down because I did want to talk to you, and you've been so busy. First, I want to thank you for putting on such a great show.
Thank you, Kyle. This is our biggest event ever, so glad to be able to sit here and talk with you. It's always a pleasure.
I can tell it's the biggest. This is really nice. The traffic is really nice, and... Man, this is really one of my favorite events, for sure. Not because I have to put on a suit and a tie, but because it really is a well-rounded event. You have so many educational classes, so many things for people to do here. Everybody's not even bored by the third day. What do you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of fascinating topics to cover in the cannabis industry, and it's growing so fast that, you know, I think I was in a panel or general session this morning with Steve D'Angelo, and he asked, you know, how many of you just got into the industry in the last year, and about 75% of the hands went up. So there's a lot of new entrants into the marketplace that need to find out about best practices for being a responsible business operator, the policy issues surrounding cannabis, which are, you know, obviously more complex than any other industry that I could imagine.
Of course. Well, that brings me to, I'm curious to know, how many years have you been doing this now?
We launched NCIA in December 2010, so we're coming up on our sixth anniversary.
Very cool. And so, you know, you see the whole gambit of industries in this marketplace. And I'm curious what you could tell us, what kind of new and interesting technologies you think are going to be up and coming?
Well, you know, what we're seeing is the strain review sites like that started. Leafly is one that, you know, that everybody I think knows is a household name in this industry.
The genetic mapping.
And the genetic mapping and seeing that information being, you know, compiled and made available to consumers so that consumers can start selecting strains based on the mood that they're looking for. And then, of course, the technology that matches the strain to the retail outlet to acquire it. So, you know, I love seeing, you know, all of these new ideas that are coming, and also sustainable agricultural practices. You know, we can't, as the industry is now a $7 billion industry, we'll be a $20 billion industry in 5 years. We can't be replacing the ecological impact of you know, criminal grows.
Exactly.
With an industry with a massive carbon footprint.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm really happy to see things trending in that direction, and it's also better for a cultivator's bottom line.
I agree. Regulation is very, very important, both for safety of the consumer and also to make a valuable industry. You got to have regulation you have to have sane regulation. This is a really great organization, and I'm not just saying that. I enjoy coming here. I've spoken at your events before. Was there ever a time when you didn't think that this organization was going to fly?
Yeah, I'd be frank about that. There were some really tough times there in the beginning. When we started in 2010, that was kind of the first green rush. That was after Obama was inaugurated, and we saw the Cole memo come out, and business, you know, for-profit marijuana businesses were opening up for the first time in the state of Colorado. And but shortly after that, we, you know, saw civil asset forfeiture threats all over the country, to dispensaries that were within a certain distance of schools or even daycare centers and such. And it really put a chilling effect on the industry for quite some time until things dramatically turned around in November 2012. with Colorado and Washington moving forward with full regulation of adult use cannabis. And that was really the point at which everything turned around for NCIA, and we started seeing some exponential growth.
Great. That has been so fantastic, the legalization of recreational cannabis. The statistics that organizations like the police organizations are compiling are really doing a lot to discredit all of the negativity that people would like to associate with legalization. As we know, this is a wonderful community of people. We're some of the most conscientious, caring people in the world, and it's nice that we're not as marginalized, and we're soon, hopefully, someday we won't be marginalized at all.
Right. You know, what's what I think people saw pretty quickly in Colorado and Washington and Oregon is that legal marijuana being sold through, you know, commercially through an open business in your community is not really that fascinating. It's just another...
Well, it's really something that has existed since the dawn of time. It's just existed in the dark.
Right.
And now we're bringing it into the light, and some people are uncomfortable with that. But they really need to everybody really needs to understand that it's really not a new industry we're creating. We are creating a new industry in the sense of big business, but the small businesses has always been there.
Right, right. And so have the big businesses. They were just called cartels.
Right. Very good. Very good. So I want to talk to you a little bit about... you know, one of the things that's a little troubling to me. We've known each other for a few years. You kind of know where I come from. I've always kind of represented the small grower. I'm a teacher and an educator, and I don't really necessarily go out and teach facilities how to grow. I like teaching people how to grow. And one of the things that I'm concerned of, and don't get me wrong, because I believe that commercialization is not only inevitable, I think it's important. It's an important part in the normalization of the whole culture. I am a little bit afraid of commercialization over legalization. And what I mean by that is there's so much excitement around the business and there's so much money to be made that I'm afraid that maybe the culture is being left a little bit behind or just ignored. And I'm wondering if... basically, the question what I want to ask you is, do you think that California can be a leader in the respect to set an example for unregulated personal cannabis?
Yeah, I mean, I think, for one, the industry does not have any economic reason to disallow personal cultivation, in my mind. It will always be probably a smaller percentage of the cannabis consumed is consumed by people who grow it for themselves. I think we should be looking at a market that looks similar to beer, where sure, there's some giant, breweries that own a huge chunk of the market share, make, cheap swill. Mm-hmm. Then you have your craft breweries that are flourishing all over the country. Mm-hmm. And then you also have your home brewers. And if anything, I think, cultivating cannabis, somebody cultivating their own personal use cannabis actually can give them an appreciation of the plant and an appreciation of commercially produced cannabis.
Sure.
And then, of course, there's a whole industry around personal cultivation as well. And I think that it's really something, maybe a little kind of side effect of prohibition, is that we have created a unique culture around cannabis and the cannabis industry that doesn't look like anything similar to any other
sure.
business sector in this country. And I really want to make sure that we can maintain that, even as we mainstream. Year after year, we're becoming more and more mainstream.
Sure.
Which is why we, at this conference, that's kind of an underlying theme with many of the panel sessions and the speakers that you're hearing today and yesterday.
I really appreciate that a lot. Do you think that personal cannabis needs to be regulated at all? Personally?
So NCIA doesn't take a position on this, to be clear. Personally, I think that it's inevitable that there will be some regulation on something like this. Mm-hmm. A city is not going to allow you to grow marijuana, a field of hundreds of marijuana plants in your front yard without a fence, right?
Sure.
So, I think that there's some place for sensible regulation around it. And I think that just like any other commodity, you can grow vegetables for yourself all you want. But once it becomes a commercial operation, you
need a license.
You need a license. And,
exactly. Yeah,
and so that's where the line should be.
That's drawn. I agree 100%. I kind of think that... I think that the legislators would be doing themselves a favor if they focused on commercial legalization and just any cannabis that was not intended for sale really doesn't need to be regulated any more than you regulate what I put on my tomatoes at home or what I eat. But, you know, that's a little bit of a stretch. I'm always for the culture. You know, I'm trying to preserve the culture, and, you know, the culture's been very good to me, and it's very important to me. Do you think that... federal legalization, once it happens, will exclude personal cultivation, or do you think we'll be able to get that in there as well?
Well, my model legalization regime would be actually getting the federal government to allow states to handle these matters, and which is similar to alcohol. You know, there aren't, you know, alcohol is regulated at the state level, but it's legal at the federal level, and I think that's also, I think, more politically saleable, because a member of Congress from Oklahoma or Texas or somewhere that's probably not going to have, you know, any large-scale legalization program anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier for them to vote for states' rights than it is for them to vote for something that's in conflict with, you know, perhaps their constituents' opinion. So I think that you know, that is an issue that should be left to the state. And then, and like I said, in a lot of cases, localities, it's a land use issue, whether or not you can, you know, grow marijuana on a certain parcel of land, you know, under certain conditions. That sort of thing is usually left to state municipalities within the state.
Mm-hmm. That does sound reasonable. Excuse me. Getting onto kind of a different subject, can you comment on what you think it might take for cannabis hemp to retake its rightful place in industry and textiles?
Well, you know, I think that we're much further ahead on that than we are on, you know, adult use or so-called recreational.
Really?
Well, because, you know, we see, you know, we've had it in the Farm Bill now, with Republican members of Congress that from the, you know, the Bible Belt actually are supporting bringing back hemp. So I think that we are making a lot of progress in that area, and we'll see. The absurdity around that is that hemp is perfectly legal in this country as long as it's grown on the other side of the border. And I have more confidence that will be resolved before we see any other type of legalization.
Do you think that America ever will be or is as American as apple pie and baseball?
What is America? I mean, I think that we are a very diverse culture, and there is no one America.
Sure.
You know,
I didn't mean to put it in that sense. I just meant, do you think there'll ever be a time when, you know, the center field wall at Safeco Field, you know, rotates Budweiser and, you know, a brand of cannabis?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I think we're already seeing some of that. I mean, look outside the hotel and the signage out there. But I think in the next 5 years that we will be seeing that sort of marketing. As also, you know, as we start seeing cannabis is actually beneficial as a replacement to alcohol and another or an alternative to alcohol, there's, you know, a lot less fear around the public marketing and that sort of thing. You know, when we see these outdoor advertising campaigns are limited by city or state regulations. I think that, you know, as time goes on, we'll see that easing a bit.
That's great. You know, it's really interesting to me because cannabis has been such a big part of my entire life from the time when I was a teenager and I was smoking it to rebel. I'm really glad that I had cannabis as my rebellion, being a fairly safe, innocuous substance. I'm kind of worried about the generations to come. What are they going to have to use to rebel against their parents?
Yeah, good point.
You know? So, but yeah. I guess, you know, everything is evolution, right?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people think it's no fun anymore now that it's legal. But,
right.
But it's the right thing to do. You know,
right.
We should, you know, never be putting people behind bars for using a substance that is by every measure safer than alcohol, tobacco, pharmaceuticals, or over-the-counter medicines for the most part as well.
You speak it a truth, man. And so, you know, I just want to thank you for sitting down with me for a few minutes. I want to thank you for doing this conference. I'm going to continue to attend every chance I get. And just thank you very much for being here and putting
you.
On a good
Always
show.
A pleasure.
Aaron Smith, the National Director for the NCIA. I want to thank everybody for listening.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Grassroots Marketing on location, only on CannabisRadio.com.